your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
This has everything to do with equality in America. Peter W. Sherrill. Peter is the president of Sherrill Enterprises, a publishing company that he started in the greater New York City area. He is known right now as the unknown black Republican, and he is eyeing a presidential run in the sense that he's looking at that as a write-in candidate. He is a former director of civil defense and homeland security. I got a lot of time for people like you, Peter. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Frida, you want to take over?
You're finding out about me. I'm finding out about you. But there's so much to ask you. I'm probably going to make sure you're going to come on again. So the first question here is a real alternative for America and our write-in vote campaign. Tell us about that. Tell us about your 2020 write-in presidential candidate. What is that and what are you doing for that?
Well, really started after I realized that Donald Trump had a significant stronghold over the Republican Party, and there was no way to even break that stronghold. As you know, or may not know, you know, I was a Democrat for almost 40 years before I guess I said enough is enough, and then I left and I joined the Republican Party in 2011. And some reason, the Republican Party just seemed to fit me where I was at that point in time in my life. I was just turning a little over 50. I think your morals and your values shift, and I could no longer align myself with the Democratic Party. So I had such hope for things in the Republican Party until 2016 happened. So my campaign for 2020, I decided to launch the Write and Vote campaign because, you know, there is just something fundamentally sacred about the write and vote. It was given to us by the founding fathers of this nation. And it was like, well, why did they give this caveat? Or some people say like a silver bullet. And I came to the conclusion that they knew then that there would come a point in time in this country where our elections would become so convoluted and so corrupt with all kind of corporate money and all kind of foreign governments interfering and bringing their money and controlling our electorate. The right and vote gives the power to the people to have the final say at the end of the day in the election process. And so that's the grounds that I pursue the right and vote campaign upon.
You know, I just want to say one thing, Mr. Sherrill, real quickly here, and that is that you are a perfect example of the type of individual who Frida and I are highlighting on the show now. I know we're talking a little bit about politics. I applaud you, number one, Mr. Sherrill, for the fact that you look at the moral values that are espoused right now by the Democratic Party. And I applaud you for turning away from it back in 2011, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, there was just no way I could continue. You know, I guess as Dr. Fernbaum can attest to this, you know, things change when you, that 50 age, that 60, and now that I'm plus 60, it's just hard to really align yourself with something that goes against your moral, everything that you believe morally. It's just like, there's no way I could not just blindly align myself with that any longer. I could, blind loyalty is deadly and dangerous on either side of the aisle.
Well, what's good about this conversation that we're having, you know, it wakes people up to think for themselves, and as you're saying, to have these alternative ways of looking at our country today. And you've done so much. You're also a former director in the civil defense and homeland security, and you've worked 25 years in corporate America. So first I'd like to ask you, what was it that you did in corporate America that made a difference?
That's a great question, Frida. You know, my life in corporate America was really a battle from the time that I graduated with my bachelor's in management and economics and minored in psychology and sociology. That was in 1980. And there just weren't any job opportunities for me. So it was this battle, and then there was this backlash against affirmative action in this country. See, there's always these backlashes. And so I found myself just starting out at a retail position with a four-year degree, almost similar to what people are finding out that they're experiencing today. Deals a lot with it. But, you know, I ended up at Texaco, and then I ended up and racial discrimination lawsuit, and it was pretty brutal. You know, the tensions were mounting, and it was an actual all-out war in corporate America. Although Texaco was I worked at the corporate headquarters. It was great. I started there delivering boxes as a temp. They created a position for me. But when it came time to deal with me as a graduate with a Bachelor of Science in Management and Economics, they didn't know what to do with me or where to place me. And so, you know, my life in corporate America was a long, hard struggle. But I still love that environment.
But you kept struggling. You've kept struggling from there on to becoming a former director of civil defense and homeland security. So you kept moving on in a direction where you felt that there was a cause. What was your life like then? What was your purpose? And what were your accomplishments at that time?
Well, It's kind of as I went into government, and it's ironic because I really became reunited with the mayor of Mount Vernon, you know, the city that I was born and raised in, at various functions that I would attend at Texaco because they were trying to change their image. And so after I left from Texaco, I kind of connected with the mayor, and this position came available. But one of the things that I will say about after the lawsuit was over, Texaco did try to find out where I would excel. They should have did that maybe 10 or 12 years earlier, but they did, and that's when they put me in community relations. And so from the community relations, I got involved with the different non-for-profits, the Boys and Girls Club, and doing things in the community. And so it was because of that I found my niche. And let me tell you, when I became that director of Civil Defense Homeland Security, it was like the blossoming of a rose in full bloom. Everything just was perfect. It was like I found something that I love to do, because you really help people, and you were dealing with the security of not only your city but your country. And I had the opportunity to train all over this country.
Okay.
Respond throughout this nation.
Peter, unfortunately, we have to cut it here. We got to take a real quick commercial break. I want to say you are number one, the kind of person who we want to have on the program, because you are a great example of somebody who does not listen to society and just forges ahead, making America a better place. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Sherrill, we should all emulate you in our lives as being a positive example.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.